A blind pool fund focuses you on a particular strategy. Otherwise, nobody's going to invest. If you don't know what the strategy is, they're not going to invest in you. This gives you a much more flexible business model. It's very hard to charge a high fund management fee for a blind pool fund, but you can charge a relatively high fund management fee for this fund because of all the value it provides and the diversification and the single K1. And a blind pool fund is either a closed-end fund or an open-end fund. We are combining really the best attributes of a syndication deal, open-end fund, and a closed-end fund. And finally, we allow you to backfill your GP capital. So these are some of the key advantages.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Badri Malinor is co-founder and VP at Investor Inc., a real estate investment technology platform that allows investors to build custom real estate portfolios. Badri, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Sam. Happy to be here.
Hey, thank you. The pleasure is mine. Three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show. In 90 seconds or less, can you tell us where you started, where you are now, and how you got there?
Okay. Well, I've always been an entrepreneur at heart and had multiple startups. I was in corporate America, but decided to switch over to be an entrepreneur. I've had a couple of startups and exits. And the problem we are trying to solve is real estate investing is too complex. I know you're in the same business. We are trying to make it a lot easier for passive investors and also a lot easier for sponsors to create their own funds. That's why I started this new company called Avestor and would love to talk to you more about it.
Fantastic. I look forward to it. Give us an overview. What is Avestor? What does it do? What problems does it solve in the industry?
So, you know, to answer that question, there are two separate parts. Avestor provides services for sponsors to create their own funds, and Avestor provides funds for people to build diversified portfolios. So let me start with the passive investor briefly, and then we'll mostly stick to the sponsors and what we do.
Okay.
For a passive investor, we have this new type of fund called a customizable fund.
Okay.
This is a first of the kind in the world, really, and I'm happy to be corrected if that is wrong. A customizable fund is more like a buffet where people can pick and choose their investments, just like you pick and choose what dishes you want in a buffet. So they still get all the benefits of the fund, but they can say, hey, Sam, I love you, but I really don't like this particular deal. I want to put 20K in this deal, but I don't want this deal. And they still get a single K1. So really with a very small amount, 50,000, which is what you typically put in one deal, you can build a diversified portfolio of 10 deals, which you get to pick and choose of 5,000 each or 10,000 each. So that is the value proposition we bring to the passive investors. And before I talk about sponsors, any feedback or questions about that?
Yeah, I mean, I would be curious how that works, you know, connecting with the sponsor side of things. Because, you know, for us, when we're raising money, it's nice to know that, hey, you know, you might have $50,000 or $100,000 that we've talked about, that this is the right asset class for you, as opposed to then going, oh, well, you decided that you want to put 10 in and then wait with the other 90 for the next 10 deals I produce and spread them out across those. So it kind of becomes a little bit of a interesting, and maybe there's a way to solve that. But how do you overcome that when, I don't know, does that question even make sense?
Yeah, it does. And happy to talk to you about it. So let me step back a little bit. From a passive investor perspective, if I were to ask you, hey, Sam, do you want to put $100,000 in the stock market? And do you want to put it in one stock, or would you rather pick 10 different stocks, which I help you choose? So most investors prefer the latter, given a choice.
Sure.
So today, sponsors are not giving the investors a choice. And I'm not saying you take 10,000 from them. You still take 50 or 100,000 in the fund, but then you slice it. It's a choice. I mean, there are some investors who want to put 100,000 in one stock or in one investment. And there are others who would really benefit from having a more diversified portfolio. So you offer them the choice. I mean, if you want to put 100K in this deal, there are some benefits, but with the fund, there is a fund management fee, but in return, you get a diversified portfolio. And it's all about offering, targeting different market segments. So there are the market segments. In our opinion, there are about 13 million accredited investors, not in our opinion, that's the Federal Reserve data, but with a net worth of 1 to 10 million, and I would say all the sponsors are going after the same 200 or 250,000 investors who are willing to put 50 or 100K per deal.
Right.
But our contention is that there are more than 12 million investors who are willing to put $50,000 or $100,000 in a fund, but they want lower allocations and so they can build a diversified portfolio.
Got it. That's strategically different than a diversified fund wherein, you know, somebody comes along and says, hey, you know what, you can put $100,000 into this. Once it's in, then we go out and acquire assets and you really have no say necessarily in what assets we acquire once you give us the money, other than looking at, you know, whatever our prospectus is and whatever we say with the types of assets we're going to buy. In this case, you say, okay, you know, we're out here in this fund and this is one asset that we're looking to buy and put in the fund. And you say, no, I don't want whatever my slice of the deal is put in that particular investment. Is that right?
Exactly. That is actually immensely flexible, both from a sponsor and a customer perspective and a passive investor. So the passive investor gets to choose his investments. So he is a lot more comfortable than, you know, Sam, I know you have a great track record, but unless you have a really strong track record, people may feel uncomfortable putting money in what you're calling is a blind pool fund.
Right.
You're blindly trusting your judgment. So you will find that a lot more investors are willing to put money in a fund if they get to pick and choose deals. That's from the passive investor perspective.
Sure.
But from a sponsor perspective too, the customizable funds give you a lot of advantages. One advantage is it's an evergreen fund. You never have to close it. And another advantage is you can be very nimble in your strategy. I know you do a lot of multifamily, but suddenly you may want to get into self-storage. I mean, it's a great deal and you may want to do that, right?
Correct.
So you can do that. You cannot do that in a blind pool fund. Can you imagine if you take somebody's money and say, suddenly I've changed my strategy, they're not going to be happy with you because they don't have a choice. Their money is going into every single deal. But here they have a choice. I mean, we are putting a little fund wrapper around a deal. So you're still raising one deal at a time. So this gives you massive flexibility, both from a sponsor perspective and also from an investor perspective.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Do you find that people are committing capital? So they put in $100,000 to say, hey, look, I love what you're doing, but there's no live deal on the line. Are people still putting capital in and then waiting for opportunities as they come up? So when they come up, they can go ahead and just say, yes, invest? Or how does that work?
They will after you build a track record. So I think it'll be hard to commit capital without any live deal. You don't have to have 10 deals, but you don't want to say, hey, just give me $100,000. I'll let you know when I get a deal. You want one or two deals in the platform and in the fund to get started. And we also do have a soft commit capability. So you can put the deal, and this is a very low risk of way for you to invest in another deal as an LP if you want, or a GP deal. By the way, that's a very important point I want to mention. The deals you put in this fund need not be only deals you're doing a GP. You can be a capital raiser for somebody, and you can also do LP deals. So you can, let's say, you know, a great sponsor, you take the deal, put it in your fund and collect all the soft commits. And then you can say, hey, I've raised $200,000. So let me invest $200,000 in the deal. It's a no-risk way of doing it.
That's interesting. There's so many questions here. I haven't even begun to really wrap my head around
this. Let's go for it one at a time.
Yeah, I mean, it's a unique take on this entirely. You tell me, what's the next logical question I should be asking here? Because this is, it's just a new way of thinking about this.
Sure. I guess one question you can ask is, what is the process if somebody goes around creating a fund like this? So the way to think about this fund is, don't think of it as replacing your syndication deal business. It's augmenting the syndication deal business. So you still continue raising money one deal at a time, but then you give investors an option. Hey, you want to invest in this deal? It's $50,000 minimum. But instead, if you want to, you're not comfortable putting 50K in one deal, put 50K in the fund and I'll help you pick individual slices, right? And so the one other aspect which I wanted to mention is Avestor helps you with all aspects of running the fund. So we are not just a software platform. We help you create the fund. We handle the legal entity creation, the SEC registrations, the Blue Sky filings. We help you with the accounting and taxes. Think of us as becoming a true business partner to help you create this fund to augment your capital raising efforts.
Yeah, because you guys handle all the back end, I mean, everything all the way down to K-1 prep. Is that right?
Correct. What we do is we generate all the data. As you can imagine, a single K-1 can be very complex. Yeah. Imagine a customizable fund where people are putting different amounts in different deals and some deals they're not investing.
Right.
We generate all the data required for the K-1s. And then you can work with one of our partner accountants Or you can work with your accountant. We'll give them the data and they issue the K-1s. Since we are not accountants, we can't issue the K-1s, but generate all the data required for it. So,
yeah, that's a great question because that becomes hyper complex. I can only imagine if you have, you know, in one fund, you have five investors that have participated in 80% of the deals and you have four investors that only participated.
Exactly. 80%. Exactly.
Suddenly it's like, wait, who do we owe what and when and how? And so, I mean, how have you developed the algorithm to even keep track of that? Because that just seems like, you know, really confusing.
Yeah, no, we have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars and we have gone through two full accounting cycles. All our, me and my co-founders come from a technology background. So we take all the K-1s from the original sponsors. And let's say the fund invests $500,000 in a sponsor deal. And when we get the K-1 from the original sponsors, then we allocate it pro rata. Somebody may have put 50,000, somebody may have put 20,000. And then we keep track of all of that. And in the end of the year, we generate the consolidated K-1. And there are some various tax benefits too. By consolidating all of these K-1s, you're offsetting capital gains from one deal when a deal exits versus the depreciation you get from the other deal. So there are some massive tax benefits too. So.
That's really, really fascinating. Let's talk about this just from a compliance standpoint. I mean, you're building one fund. Just give us some high level. What do you guys see on the compliance side? What are some dangers, some gotchas? What are some things that you look that you guys have found you need to kind of look out?
No, that's a great question. So obviously, we still have to conform to the laws of the land. So this fund is still a Reg D fund. So it can be a 506B fund or a 506C fund. I'm sure many of your investors or your listeners are familiar with the two, but to give a quick recap, a 506C fund can be advertised and can have accredited investors and can invest in any deal, whereas a 506B fund can accept non-accredited investors, 35 sophisticated investors, but you have to invest only in 506B deals. So we help you conform to all the compliance laws. I mean, to start with, including the Blue Sky registrations, and the SEC Reg D filings. And let me tell you three things we do, which not all platforms do. I know a lot of platforms do the accreditation checks and KYC checks. We do anti-money laundering checks as well. The SEC is tightening up on that as well. It's more important for foreign investors, but even for US investors, we do all three: KYC, accreditation checks, and anti-money laundering checks. So
that's really, really fascinating. Yeah, but you couldn't possibly have a 506B and a 506C fund running side by side. I can only imagine that you would get into trouble on that front. Is that right?
No, not really. You can have two separate funds. So the 506B fund, you cannot advertise. So let's say you're raising money for a deal, Sam. Let's say you're raising $2 million. Maybe what you do is you allocate $1 million for a direct raise where people are putting 50 or 100K, your standard syndication. And then maybe you split the remaining 1 million, half a million in the 506B fund and the half a million in the 506C fund. And then you don't advertise the 506B fund, but the same deal can be split across two funds under direct syndication deal. So it's perfectly okay to run both funds, a 506B and a 506C.
Interesting. That's highly intriguing. Talk to us about the mechanics of it when it comes to, you know, number of investors, the size of the fund. I know you said it's evergreen, but just kind of give us some of the high level. What do you see some of the people who are using your platform doing right now? And what are some of the constraints?
Great question. You know what? We pride ourselves to accommodate your business model. We don't dictate our business model on you. So you tell me what your business model is, and it's very likely that we'll be able to accommodate your business model. Let me give some examples. We have a hard money lending fund where what he does is he does hard money loans, right? Mm. And he takes a $300,000 loan and splits it up into $5,000 or $10,000 chunks. It's very hard to find one investor to invest in a $300,000 loan, but it's a lot easier for people to invest in $5,000 or $10,000 loans. Slices of this loan, and he takes a percentage of the interest and also loan origination points. That's one potential use case. And then we have capital raisers. So there are some huge advantages in using Avestor. Today, to raise capital, people often do an SPV or a single purpose vehicle. And we have what we would call this customizable fund is the ultimate SPV. Because in a SPV, for every single deal, you have to create a separate legal entity.
Right.
Whereas here, you create one legal entity and you can put any number of deals, and then you raise the money for that deal and investors can choose which deals they want to invest in. So there are some massive advantages. And then we have people who are creating a fund focused on self-storage. And then we have a large property manager in Florida who sells slices of vacation rentals. So really, the sky is the limit. I mean, you can do any type of asset class in this, self-storage, multifamily, retail. You can do hard money loans. You can do equity. Really, the fund is set up to be extremely flexible and accommodate your business model.
It's essentially the benefits of doing all the multiple SPVs, but yet wrapped under one single set of...
Bingo. Why would you do multiple SPVs if you can create one SPV? You're paying 10 or 15 grand per SPV for legal fees. Here you're paying that same 10 grand and you got one which will go on forever.
Right. That's really intriguing though. So, I mean, I guess going back to the, and forgive me, I did not do well in school. So when you go back to everyone getting a single K-1, how do you get that K-1 not to be connected to every other deal in the fund if they didn't participate?
That's our technology in the back end. So we keep track of how much they're investing in each individual investment. And then we consolidate all the data and we offset passive gains versus passive losses. And then we give them a consolidated K-1. And that's our secret sauce. So.
Gotcha. And so if I invest, I still am only going to get a K-1. I'm only going to get the shares of whatever I own. It has nothing to do with what other deals may have gone into or not gone into that fund.
Exactly. And you can see why that's advantageous both to the investor and to the sponsor too. Okay. So you don't have to worry about, oh, will my investors, you create a fund, a blind pool fund like you're talking about. And then suddenly you come across this great deal, but that's not the asset class you originally promised. Then do you want to create another SPV for that and you maintain all the bank accounts and everything else? Or do you want to just put it in this fund and your investors are not upset with you because they don't have to invest in the new deal if they don't want to? So you're not dragging them kicking and screaming into your new deal, you know? So
right. That's really intriguing. What about, talk to us about an expense side. Like, what does this look like as far as expense? I know you said you could spend 10 grand and get an evergreen fund, but there's got to be ongoing expenses both to the sponsor for putting this together.
Sure. So basically, for about 9 to 10 grand, the legal fees, and there is a $5,000 setup fee for Avestor, you get the fund started for less than 15 grand. And then what we charge, we kind of think of ourselves as your business partners, okay? We basically charge 0.5% of the investor assets under management. And we recommend that the fund offers some unique value to your investors. We recommend you charge 1.5% to 2%. And some of our funds charge performance fees in the back end too. But we recommend you charge 1.5% to 2%. And I can tell you, no investor has complained about that because they like the value proposition of the fund.
Right.
And we take 0.5 out of that. So that's our model. If you don't grow, we don't grow. We want to become your true business partners.
Got it. So you take a half a point for, or 50 basis points for assets under management.
Exactly. Just assets under management, investor assets, not GP capital, you know? So let me tell you something else very unique about this fund. We allow you to decouple closing a deal from raising all the money. How does that work? So let's say you're, for simple numbers, let's say that you're raising $1 million, okay? And then let's say you're 200K short and maybe you have 200K of your own money you invest in the deal temporarily. And then we can slice it and allocate it to investors 6 months later, 1 year later, or even 2 years later. And we keep track of the fact that your money was tied up for 6 months. So you not only get a portion of the cash distributions, but you also get a portion of the capital gains. So we are the only platform in the world which allows you to backfill your GP capital and still get paid both in terms of capital gains and cash distributions for the time your money was tied up.
So. Right. Yes, because I've done that before where it's like, oh, shoot, I need, like you said, I need $100,000 or $200,000. I'll just write a check and then it might be tied up for, you know, a month or two.
Exactly.
And of that time, I just, you know, typically as part of just, you know, putting the deals together and knowing that, it's on me to get it done, you get the 100 grand or 200 grand back. And then you're like, well, whatever, that's all I get back out of the deal. But you're saying
exactly. But now you get paid for it. We right. keep track of the fact that your money was tied up for 2 months. And when the deal exits, you get a portion of not the cash capital gains too. So.
Right. Yes. Because the hassle, the paperwork and tracking hassle beforehand was such that it was like, hey, it's just the juice isn't worth the squeeze. Even though you may have it written in the operating agreements or whatever it is that say, hey, look, you know.
But you have to calculate how do you recover it. But here it's right. The platform takes care of that for you.
Right. Yeah. And that's when most of us as general partners just go, whatever, it's the cost of doing business, put it in, get the deal done and keep moving. So that's really, really intriguing. Fascinating. And I guess that would work the same way because a lot, you know, I invest in every deal that we put out. So the same way, as opposed to me coming in as a limited partner, Now I'm just coming and investing in my own fund.
Exactly. We don't charge you for that, by the way. So any GP money you put, we don't charge that 0.5%. We charge 0.5% only on the LP assets, which is fine.
Okay. Hey, that's cool. That's a nice thank you to your sponsors for joining the platform. That's really, really fascinating. Badri, this has been, I mean, absolutely intriguing. I'm excited to see where this platform goes. What are some questions I haven't asked that I should have asked?
So one other question I would ask is, how does this compare with a blind pool fund, right? I mean, I think we have kind of talked about it.
Right.
But let me kind of recap the big difference. I mean, first of all, a blind pool fund focuses you on a particular strategy. Otherwise, nobody's going to invest. If you don't know what the strategy is, they're not going to invest in you. This gives you a much more flexible business model. It's very hard to charge a high fund management fee for a blind pool fund, but you can charge a relatively high fund management fee for this fund because of all the value it provides and the diversification and the single K1. And a blind pool fund is either a closed-end fund or an open-end fund. We are combining really the best attributes of a syndication deal, open-end fund, and a closed-end fund. And finally, we allow you to backfill your GP capital. So these are some of the key advantages.
Fantastic. I've loved it. Thank you for, and I guess the last question I have for you is, how did you dream this up? What was the thing that you said, hey, wait, there's a hole in the market or a gap in the marketplace and I want to fill it? What was that event?
Great question. It started from the journey as a passive investor from my co-founder, really. So he was putting 50K, 100K per deal. You know, he really didn't have the time to research all the deals. One deal went wrong. You know, everybody makes mistakes. And he said, there's got to be a better way to do this. And so we built it. We built our own fund for passive investors. They loved it. And then what we realized is we can scale much more rapidly if we make this platform available for other sponsors, capital raisers, realtors, GPs. They said, hey, I love this customizable fund. Why don't you do it for us? So we evolved our business model to say, yeah, we have our own fund, but we will go ahead and expose the platform to you guys. I mean, we have more than 15 funds signed up, and we hope to have more than 100 funds by the end of this year.
So. Man, that's fantastic. Absolutely love it. That's awesome. Let's jump here into the last few questions.
Okay.
One is this: when it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
You know, one of the things which I'm trying to do is start a nonprofit, which will encourage more financial literacy in schools. Mm. I know there is a little bit of that, but you know, simple things like balancing a checkbook, how does credit work? What is a company? How do companies work? How do you invest in the stock market? What is the stock market, right? I mean, so I'm beginning to put together some materials. You know, I want to wait until this COVID things hopefully is behind us pretty soon. And that's one thing I would like to do. So
I love that. Yeah, because it's such a shame that you can graduate high school and you have no idea how the stock market works. And yet they've forced you to take, you know, higher level
calculus.
Yeah, there you go. You're taking higher level calculus, but you can't balance a checkbook and you don't know how to buy a stock.
Exactly.
And case in point, man, and this is near and dear to my heart, which is why you touched on something that's just, it's just mind boggling to me. I mean, my wife is 10 times smarter than I am. She had 3 master's degrees and she didn't know what a HELOC was on a house. I'm like, sweetheart, that's just a home equity line of credit. And she's like, well, how does that work? I'm like, oh, geez, how did you get this far? So educated. And you don't even know basic. And I'm not upset with her. I mean, she's, again.
It's just, you're not exposed to those concepts, right? I think it should be an integral part of school education, actually.
Right. Drop calculus and teach kids how to balance a checkbook.
Or do both, right? So
that now?
Or do both.
Or do both. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's fantastic. I love that. So great work on that front. Badri, if our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
You know, the best way is via email. Yeah. And by the way, there's a ton of information on our website, avestorinc.com. That is like invest, but avest, avestorinc.com. And my email is Badri, Badri, at avestorinc.com.
And thank you so much.
We'd love to talk to anybody, not only about Avestor, but, you know, investment in general, or shoot the breeze. So
awesome. Badri, thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.